Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. You may be aware that the United States is the only high-income country in the world that doesn't have any kind of federal paid family leave law on the books. But here's some news New Yorkers can use. Did you know that as of January 1st, you can receive job-protected paid family leave through New York State? This year, New Yorkers are eligible for 8 weeks, next year 10 weeks, and so on, until by 2021, it'll be 12 weeks of paid leave. And my understanding is this is for time for new kids, sick relatives, or if a family member is deployed overseas in the military. New York is one of only six states, plus D.C., with any kind of paid leave law on the books now. And by the time it's fully implemented in 2021 in the way we just described, it'll be the most generous. Now, almost everyone is covered, no matter what kind of job you have. And New Yorkers who take advantage will get paid 50% of your average weekly pay, up to about $650 per week. And that percentage will go up, too, over the next few years. Here with us now to talk about the new paid family leave law in New York State and talk about a new Republican idea for a federal paid family leave law is Dina Baxt, co-founder and co-president of A Better Balance, which is a national legal advocacy organization that works to advance policies and advocate for working families. She was also an advocate for New York's paid family leave law. Hi, Dina. Thanks so much for coming in. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
So I think we should begin by stressing that this law isn't just a maternity leave law. It's not a law for women. It's a law for everyone, men and women, moms and dads, equally on the family leave aspects. Can you explain in more detail who can take this leave?
Sure, absolutely. That's right. This is not a maternity leave only law. In fact, it's not only a parental leave law. While it uncovers moms and dads, it also covers time off to care for a loved one with a seriously ill health condition, and where, as you said, relieve family pressures when a loved one is called to military service. And so this is has a profound impact in helping all workers in the state care for a loved one without risking their economic security.
How does the military family part of that work? We just did a call-in on another topic for current service people and recent vets last hour. That's probably the least known part of this that may be raising some eyebrows right now as we say it.
Yeah, well, I urge you to check out, there's a lot of FAQs on our website and on the governor's website, and it certainly is the least known. It is a part of the Family and Medical Leave Act, too, the federal FMLA, and a really important component because no other state leave law has this important provision, and it is just really critical to make sure that all working families who need time off to care for themselves and their families are protected. You know, paid family leave has been considered for too long, an individual problem that companies should solve on their, company by company, family by family. But really, this is a societal problem that requires systemic solutions. And, you know, as we mark the 25th anniversary of the Family and Medical Leave Act, you know, it was a first step. I mean, through that law, we've provided critical protections to millions of families, but here in New York, but there are so many workers that are unprotected, low-income workers, part-time workers, under that law. And so New York's step forward is really transformative. I mean, it's a landmark law that will help really ensure workers avoid the impossible choice between caring for a loved one and a paycheck. And Governor Cuomo and at his State of the State really spoke so powerfully about being there for his father when he was dying. And Vice President Biden talked about being there for his son. So this is not just about women. This is about men. This is about all caregivers, young and old.
So listeners, help us report this story. Let's consider this kind of a one-month check-in on New York State's Paid Family Leave Act, which took effect January 1st. Anybody taking advantage of it? knowing that this just kicked in. Any employers want to call in and talk about how you're adjusting to it, or anybody else with any early experience? I realize this might be a needle in a haystack because it's so new, and maybe nobody's out there with a story yet. But if anybody is, we would love to hear it as kind of a one-month check-in on New York State's new Paid Family Leave Act. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Dina Bax, co-founder and co-president of A Better Balance. There have been a few stories lately about how even in countries with generous family leave policies, it still winds up being mostly women who elect to take the leave, which can then lead to fewer promotions or lower wages for women in the long run. In Sweden, by contrast, the government introduced an incentive to encourage men to take parental leave. Families get more leave in their combined allowance if each parent takes a certain amount of time off in the case of child care leave. Is there any such incentive in the New York state law, or did you try to get any in?
Well, I think what we have in New York is fantastic, because what the law says, which many companies have yet to abide by, is that bonding should be equal. Bonding time should be equal for women and men. So basically, there's no distinction. And where many company policies will still say, we'll give women, 5 months of paid maternity leave, but dads can have 2 weeks, that really creates all sorts of, disincentives and barriers for women in the workplace, and certainly for men, too, who may feel stigmatized and unable to even take the 2 weeks that they have. So this law has really, it not only provides equal bonding time, but it covers job protection, ensuring that women and men can return to the same job or a comparable one after they take paid leave. It allows them to keep their health insurance while they're on leave, and it prohibits employers from discriminating or retaliating against employees for taking leave. So that should have a really important those components, which we fought for and were able to, see implemented in the law, I think will be really important for men and encourage men to take paid time, which is not only good for men and for families, it's as you point out, it's good for women, it's good for their wages, it's good for family economic security, it's good for public health. So it's really a win-win.
Look at this. Our lines are completely full with people who want, I guess, we're still seeing who's on what line to say what, but it looks like they're full with people who want to talk about their early experiences with this new law. And Robert in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
So I worked, I'm a professor at a SUNY school in Orange County, New York. And my college has decided to take advantage of a loophole in the law and opt out of the state FMLA. So I think it's kind of interesting that our lawmakers, wrote this great egalitarian law and then provided the ability for public institutions to opt out, meaning that myself and all of my colleagues cannot take advantage of the New York State FMLA.
Wow. They can do that? State institutions like SUNY can opt out?
Well, public employees are not covered by the law, and so they need to opt in. And so there is disparity in terms of which public sector workers are covered based on whether their institution, their union decides to opt in.
Why that particular exception? It does sound like then, since this is a state law, that the state government is saying, we're requiring this of everybody but ourselves.
Well, it builds on existing protections in the law, so it's building on our existing system. It does create some disparities between private and public sector workers, and our hope is that public sector workers will encourage their and advocate and encourage and show that to their and make it known how important paid family leave is in whatever way that advocacy can be done, because you're right. I mean, I think that every worker, public or private, should be afforded protection.
Robert, good luck with that. I wish we could help you more. There's no individual advice that you could give let's say
talk to your, you know, there's
talk to your union.
Right.
All right. Laura in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, I did see the ads in the subway. That's how I found out. You're right that this is so new, not many people know about it.
Yeah.
And I'm a small business owner. And I'm also 22 weeks pregnant. So this was the perfect timing for me. And my story is
grant yourself paid family leave.
Yeah, I mean, that was the question. As a small business owner with no employees, can I take it? Can I take the paid family leave myself? And I tried calling my assembly member's office, and they were helpful, but they actually had potentially misinformation, I found out later. So it is a convoluted system that it's so new. But I found an insurance broker who was able to get me a plan for both disability and the paid family leave, so I can take the paid family leave in June when I give birth.
That's great. And I just would underscore that in addition to a better balance, we have a lot of resources for employees. The state has terrific resources on their website and a paid family leave helpline with forms and information for employers. And so I'd really encourage you to check out the state's website for more information.
Yeah, I will say that my business partner and I did do that because his father just had a stroke. So he was also looking at what he might, because he might have to take some time off as well. And it's not clear for small business owners. I will say that. That's the kind of what we saw was the gap, and we had to do a lot of research ourselves.
Let's see if we can clear some of this up for Laura, Dina, and for others, because I think her story is probably raising a question in a lot of people's minds. Wait, you're a self-employed owner of a business with no employees, and you're wondering if you can take paid family leave. And so what people must be wondering right now is, it's up to her whether she, I mean, if the law requires her to pay herself, then it does. But I think the answer is it's more than that. It's not just a requirement for employers to keep paying their employees up to $650. Is it a week or a month? Up to $650. I'll look that up again. Per week, if that's up to half their salary. This somehow comes through an insurance policy or through the state.
This is an insurance system that employees draw down on. So, I mean, it's important to just make clear, you know, for, you know, putting self-employed workers aside in general, this is, you know, a benefit that is deductions from employees' payroll that is really de minimis, that goes a long way to allow them to, when family emergency strikes or, you need time off for a new baby, you can draw down on that. And there's overwhelming support for this notion, which is why, in general, we're seeing this public conversation really take off, because the nation... I think everyone can agree that nobody should be forced to go completely without any income when a new baby is born.
And but it's a third party that actually pays you the pay.
Well, it's
not your employer.
It is $0 from your employer. This is an insurance system, and yes, that's correct.
And so for all employees in New York State listening right now who don't work for SUNY or other public agencies, this is something that you have to affirmatively sign up for, or is this something that you are now automatically covered for?
Well, your employer should, you should have a plan. And if you don't have a plan and you're not, you can inquire about it, and you can also call the family leave helpline in the state.
So there's a requirement for employers to take out these insurance policies.
Correct. Correct.
Do you know yet, and this is so new that you might not know yet, what happens if an employee comes up with a need for time off that's covered by this paid leave law, and the employer has not yet taken out such an insurance policy?
They should call the state and try and resolve that directly. because I in their regulations and guidance, they provide exactly for that scenario. And I think that I would advise to call the state in order to, you know, get the paid family leave that you're entitled to.
Sherry in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sherry.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm just calling because it looks like I might be the first person in my company to take advantage of this new, the new law. I have set up all the paperwork, and I wasn't going to take it, but because my company is pretty good with vacation and personal days, but a supervisor and a coworker really stayed on my back about it. They were like, no, do not use your vacation, do not use it up. You will need your vacation to rest, you know, go get this paperwork. And I have to say, when I got the paperwork, I looked at all the paperwork, and it just seemed really, really daunting. And I thought, I'm not going to do this. I'll just use my vacation time. And then my partner has been hospitalized twice between October and January. The first time she was in the hospital for a month. And then she had to go back a second time. And I after that second time, I sat down in the living room, and she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm filling out the FMLA paperwork. And she said, I thought we weren't going to do that. And I said, I think given the things that have happened, perhaps we should investigate this. So it is all set up. I have two more things that I have to do, like take 2 days off. And then it would be enacted.
Do you have any tips or suggestions regarding the paperwork? If it was so daunting, Sherry, is there anything you can say in particular that maybe the state could tweak since this is so new?
I think for me it was daunting because I've just been under stress since October. It's just been really, really stressful.
All right.
And I am really good at follow through and setting up paperwork. I used Post-it tabs to figure out where I had to fill things out, where my partner had to fill things out, where the doctors had to fill things out. So, but stay on the doctors. They know how to do it. They'll say they're really busy, but if you stay on them, they'll get it done.
Sherry, thank you so much.
Yeah,
Dana.
I wanted to add, and you know, from what I heard, it sounds like there's a lot that you were told and that may necessarily not be accurate between the federal law and the state law and how you use your vacation and sick time. So, you know, we run a hotline where we advise employees 1-833-NEED-ABB. The state also, obviously, you can call them with questions, but we can help try and break this down for you and help guide you and make sure these are the right forms, because they're not particularly onerous. It's just actually not at all if you are given clear information. So if you'd like to reach out to us directly, we'd be happy to help you.
That's great. Sherry, thank you. And I think that was very helpful for a lot of listeners, just that you raised those issues that you did. Let's take one more. We're almost out of time. But here's an employer who thinks he's going to have trouble with this, Mike in Nassau County. Mike, thank you for calling. We just have about a minute for you.
Hey, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to point out that I run a small business with two employees. We just paid for the Family Medical Leave Act. We pay up front, and then the employee kind of pays us back. And then my guys are a little lower paid. We're kind of like the bottom of the food chain. And we only work 9 months out of the year. So my guys will never use this family medical leave because they could lose a third of their season. And all we're really doing is subsidizing people in office jobs. So I don't understand why it comes all the way down towards us, why we're paying for something that my employees will never be able to take. Because if one guy goes on medical leave, we've lost half our force. There's just nobody who's around to pick up that work while he's gone.
You know, I would say, you know, more broadly, that the data has really shown that paid family leave coming out of California has really helped to level the playing field for small businesses who can't provide this benefit on their own. You know, because there's so many life events, not just childbirth, but also care for a seriously ill loved one. And in many instances, you're going to be out anyway. That would happen anyway. And now, if you know your workers, your employee is going to need that time, you know, folks are hiring temporary and replacement workers to help cover.
And Mike, even though your workers only work 9 months out of the year, I have a feeling you don't know yet who's going to take this, because you don't know when family emergencies come up. You don't know when, you know, the sick care part of that, or you don't know when somebody's going to wind up with a new baby in the middle of the 9 month season and might want to take a few weeks. So maybe time will tell.
Well, perhaps, but I just feel like we're subsidizing people in offices that have the, there are more workers around to pick up their slack, or when they can't be around. With these smaller, with a small business, you usually don't have the employees to pick up that slack. And there aren't that many people, you know, waiting around ready to go. We already have a labor problem. There's nobody who's, there's not a lot of people coming in. So I just don't see, I don't see how we're going to replace a guy if he leaves for 12 weeks, and he's going to see that as well.
Mike, thank you very much. Good luck to you and your workers. Dina? Three-question lightning round to close out. You ready?
Sure.
One, it's 40 days that you get maximum. Can you take this paid family leave broken up into very short increments, say 1 day a week for 40 weeks?
Yes, you can take paid leave in chunks of a day. It's called intermittent leave, and you have to give notice to your employer as soon as practicable.
Are part-time workers eligible for this, prorated to how many hours they work?
Yes, part-time workers are covered.
And do people who employ, say, a nanny in their home have to provide paid family leave? Does it matter if they're paid off the books?
If they're full-time workers, then they are employees that are protected and entitled to paid family leave.
But you just said part-time are also covered. What in the what about the case of domestic work?
Again, we have a lot of, in a lightning round, round, I can't get into it, but you could certainly, we have a lot of information on our website.
You were just holding up your booklet. You want to promote?
Yeah, I just wanted to note for folks that there are a lot of related laws, and we recently wrote a pocket guide called the Working Woman's Pocket Guide in New York to help understand that there's federal and there's state paid leave law, but there's also pregnancy protections and sick time laws, and knowledge is power. So it's really, really important that you understand your range of rights here in New York, understands how they may differ on this on the state and local level, and know that you could call a better balance. And there's also information for the particular agencies in the city and state where you can file. Again, knowledge is power, especially when the moment women's rights are under attack. You know, getting the information you need is critical, and we encourage you to stay informed.
All right, there you have it, folks. New York now one of only six states, plus D.C., with any kind of paid leave law on the books. It just took effect January 1st. There's a one-month-ish update, and we thank you for your calls. We thank also Dina Baxt, the co-founder and co-president of A Better Balance, which is a national legal advocacy organization that works to advance policies and advocate for working families. Thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you so much for having me.